It wasn't a perfect system before. It's not going to be a perfect system on day one, but we're going to do everything we can to, you know, to bend that arc towards it, to make it as manageable as possible for the students, for the families, and for all the staff that's there too.
For Franklin Matters, Franklin Public Radio, available anywhere, anytime on the internet, WFPR.FM, and in our local Franklin, Mass. FM radio dial. Yeah, that old thing, you dial, twist it to 102.9. There was a school committee meeting on Tuesday, and we've got our truck board chat today with our chair, Dave Callahan. Dave, thank you for doing this, and I understand why you missed the meeting. You actually caught up to it, so we can do the chat legitimately. How about that?
Absolutely. It's fantastic. I got a big thanks to Franklin TV for making that possible. And also, I really want to thank, too, committee member Ruth Ann O'Sullivan, because she stepped in. She chaired and ran a fantastic meeting on Tuesday while both Dave and McNeil and myself were unavailable and were out.
Mm-hmm. And you need those good times away. I mean, you know, as busy as you both are, you know, they needs those times away.
It was great. And we went, we did some fishing and out, you know, a couple of lake days. We did kayaking. My wife actually mm-hmm. caught a fish for the first time, which fantastic.
Is that the one she was implying you were the good catch?
That's exactly it. Yeah. She and little, it was where we were staying had a little fishing tournament, and she won with her catch. She won the tournament that day,
you know.
So that was it was some great memories, some wonderful times. But now we're back in the thick of it, right. Happily so.
Yeah, nothing ventured, nothing gained. You got to take that try, get in there. All right, so we'll get into, and I think it was kind of 1, 2, 3 big topics, but summer learning. Yeah, we're still in summer, but a lot of it has already happened. There's still some things happening, but that was a pretty good update.
It was, because it's, you know, it's always a, you know, everything that the lifelong learning does, it's fantastic. And but yeah, especially whenever they work with Assistant Superintendent Paula Morano. You know, I know they've started talking about the summer programming that they're able to invite some of the students back over the summer to kind of keep that education, moving forward. Mm-hmm. And they had was over like 160 participants, I believe.
Yeah, there was like 2/3 of those invited. Sounds like that they actually came through. So, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. No.
No, that's fantastic. And then they also, through the lifelong learning, always have so many incredible, memorable summer programming that mm-hmm. they do. And so I know for us, I still kind of harken back to, we had, my daughter took this, it was like a stop animation with Legos. And she went and she, you know, designed her own Lego movie through stop mm-hmm. animation. And she came back and she was so excited. And I remember seeing the video and it was amazing. And just from business standpoint, with lifelong learning, it's all self-funded too.
Right.
So, you know, with these programs, it's families that are looking and finding some really affordable programs that they offer, but that money that we're kind of, you know, paying to send my daughter to this program is the cost of the program itself too. I know that sometimes also kind of comes up when people hear about these great programs that are happening over the summer, that it's always, you know, these ones are being self-funded too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think there were a couple of other kudos to that. I think committee member colleague Gallagher's said that her daughter enjoyed coming back with something on the food chemistry front, so that was cool. And then Lucas chimed in on, because he's got a candidate at going through the high school for the college essay prep, which is a critical piece. And we know teenagers, sometimes they want to do this and sometimes they don't. And you need a little guidance. And at least as a parent, he didn't need to force it, because they went to the school, they went to the class, and they made progress.
Absolutely. So anytime that their catalogs come on out, I always take a look at what they have to offer, because it's so many great programs that are out there.
And then while it's summer, the school district has certainly been busy with one Colin Boisvert, our operations director, coordinating the reopening in September. But there's lots of moving parts, and boy, he's been checking off things here and there and there.
They are, as much as, while we, a school committee, this is the first time that we met, I think, since like late June. So we had a nice little break. He and the rest of the whole team over there did not. They have been working so diligently to make sure that this reorganization, now with the move, I know he had talked about, the traffic updates, busing updates, some new playgrounds that are kind of happening over at Lincoln Street, and there's a fencing section over at Pond, that it's been nonstop for him and his team and all of his colleagues over there, and I give them all the kudos in the world. It's amazing what they've been able to do.
Yeah, I had taken a walk, drive around, and drove to some key points, and then did a whole bunch of walking to take a whole bunch of photos. So I captured all the signs and shared those. I do have some photos in the queue to come out for that Pond Street playground. I did see that and managed to capture that. Unfortunately, I didn't think of the change at the Lincoln Street playground. So that's not in this current crop. I'll have to go back again. And so maybe it'll be done by that point because I think they're finishing some things up. So, yeah, there has been a lot happening. And it was interesting to note as well. And I think they showed some photos, so it's available on the video of, the striping and for the arrivals and departures. And in my photos, I think. And I'm not sure they're part of the batch that should because it was just the sign, but I'll be able to share. It was interesting too, clearly because we've had some heavy rains. Apparently at Remington Jeff, now Washington Street, along the sidewalks, they've put some additional, I forget what the technical term is, but kind of rock bustle to s prevent erosion where the sidewalk ends and then the grass would go. So it'll help smoothen the water flow down the sidewalks out to the parking lots, etc. And that was clearly noticeable. That was new. That was not there before. So, yeah, they've been doing a bunch of work.
They have, and even like you mentioned too, with some of the signage, there's painting for to kind of help navigate through, the drop off and pickups and what those routines are going to look like. And I do want to also point out, and I know it was mentioned at last night's Tuesday's meeting, but that a lot of these big capital improvement projects are either paid through what was already kind of earmarked out with the capital improvements, and as folks who are kind of following the budget under, they know, we got the operating budget, and then Franklin has their capital improvements budget, and then with especially like the Lincoln Street playground, the town was able to use the CPA, which was 5, 6 years ago, but a terrific, terrific win for the town. But just I know so many people are still kind of cognizant about the failed override and about all the cuts that have been incurred from there, and the a lot of the improvements that are being made have already kind of been factored into the budget through capital improvements or through the CPA previously. That's not money that we could have, kind of held on to save an extra teacher or an extra program over there.
Yeah, and I to Colin's credit, he also referenced the doc, which I believe in March he presented to you at the detail level of this is the program for that phase one capital. There's phase two in there, but the t time TBD. And then he used that as part of the presentation. So yeah, he's tracking to what he had promised, and this is what's happening. So.
Yeah, and it's great because especially if you do kind of pull, because and that all that information is all available on the website, and it's all out there. But yeah, like you mentioned, you can even see what phase two, like what could be coming on down the pipeline. There was some ideas over, especially at Lincoln Street. They had a lot of different like traffic mitigation recommendations that kind of came on out, and they're like, all right, here's the ones that can kind of be implemented ASAP. Here's the ones that can be implemented with little to no cost, and here are some long-term ones that might, really make substantial impacts, but would require substantial, additional kind of cost and time. But at least, through that capital improvement project, plan that he had submitted, it really does kind of show what all the different long-term phases might look like, and if we're able to kind of secure, you know, the funding, what it might be able to do moving forward too. So it's a great roadmap, and it's been fantastic.
Yeah, I think next week's going to be a key week, as between the transportation and the bus schedules getting out, and then in those first several days, first couple of weeks, observation of what's happening in terms of the actual drop-off pickup. School principals are certainly going to be sending out their communications to the parents in terms of these are the times, these are the process, et cetera, et cetera. And then that key evaluation of how are things, what's really happening? Are there some things we can do right away? Or is it just going to take, as I think has been said in other meetings, you know, people change generally, and especially Franklin steps up to the plate. But sometimes it just takes a little time in order to get used to it and the new way of doing things. And hopefully, you know, they said it wasn't going to be perfect the first day, but, you know, be a little patient and it'll work through.
Exactly. And I know, you know, Lucas has also kind of mentioned that he, you know, hopes that folks, you know, there's no amnesia that kind of comes on board, you know, that they kind of still remember how it used to be. Cause I remember, you know, doing the Kennedy pickup, and if I didn't time it properly, I was way down Pond Street, just, you know, like that with my blinker on, waiting until it's my turn to kind of go up to the light. And, but then once I'm there, it was a good loop, but there's always issues that kind of come up. That had been there previously as well. It wasn't a perfect system before. It's not going to be a perfect system on day one, but we're going to do everything we can to, you know, to bend that arc towards it, to make it as manageable as possible for the students, for the families, and for all the staff that's there too.
Right. And then you also had a within the committee, at least, the annual report draft. And for reference, yes, each department organization, because Franklin TV also contributes to it, an annual report section, which ultimately gets published, I believe, usually in that late October, November timeframe, because generally the print copy is one of the gold things that you can get when you come back from the election. That's one of the things you can pick up at an election for having voted.
And and so this time, we had that that annual report. This was something that a combination of, you know, with Lucas and with myself, I got some polite nudging right before I went on vacation to make sure that my draft was fully there, and I made sure I went, got it all submitted. We kind of brought back a quote from Horace Mann as well. It was the first time that he was kind of reintroduced and reincluded, I think, since like pre-COVID. But to kind of kick off the message, at least from the school committee. And as Lucas mentioned too, that whole thing, it fully kind of explains, you know, the mission of the schools, kind of gives, you know, here's some of the, especially from a school committee perspective, this is really like, you know, this is what we're looking at. This is what we're looking to accomplish, or here are some of the troubles that we're kind of facing and the economic realities that we have right now. And then kind of goes and explains some of the subcommittees as well. And so I will say a quick little plug for folks who maybe are interested in running for school committee or for town council as well. This is a great little synopsis. You know, you want to kind of know, all right, well, I'm new to this, or maybe I've just kind of paid attention to the big meetings on Tuesday. What else is going on, you know, behind some of the scenes? Behind those big Tuesday meetings, this also kind of provides that quick little recap of saying, you know, here's all the different subcommittees that are out there. You know, here's, you know, some of what they're looking to do or to kind of accomplish, just to help, you know, better acclimate you if you are interested in running for, say, for school committee.
Mm-hmm. Dan, in my kind of scrapbook, napkin, whatever you want to scrap and write on, if you got two meetings, there's 2 hours. 2 hours prep per, so there's four and four, that's about eight. If you're on eight subcommittee or two, there's another hour or two plus the 2 hours prep. So you're talking 10, 12, 14, 16, you know, in that neighborhood of hours a month. It's not just two meetings a month.
Right. There is a lot more that goes into it. And obviously, the more that you want to do as well, there's always plenty of more work that can kind of be done. I mean, from, I don't want to refer my first term, that's when you and I kind of started having this conversation about doing, you know, podcast recaps of this, which led to this. You know, I've through the last year had the opportunity to kind of provide announcements from the chair at town council meetings to kind of give those recaps as well. I know committee member Al Charles had started the newsletter that's now kind of going out. It gives provide great context and the rest of the committee as well. So there's so many great opportunities, but yeah, there's definitely it is more work than just those Tuesdays. There are a lot of other meetings that aren't as widely published and broadcasted. And but there's always more work that could be done if you're so inclined. But if you also want to kind of go and just you're going to go to the meetings, you're going to provide some great input and some advice for at the big meetings and the subcommittees, that's terrific too. That's still a huge help because at least as of this recording right now, we don't we only there's six candidates for seven seats for school committee for the upcoming election. So if you are interested, please reach out. I'd be happy to chat with you about it.
And I'll toss my contact info in there as well in case you want to consider any of the boards: planning board, board of assessors, board of health. Town clerk is also unopposed at this point, and town council at this point I think has 14 candidates for 9 seats, which is about kind of the average, so to speak. I think it's gen if the average, I'm working on the average, but I estimate it's going to be probably 11 or 12. But there's been times when it was only one or two seats extra. And kind of when the music stops in the musical chairs, there's two people that are left standing. But if there's nobody left standing when the music stops on the school committee, well, you can at least do business. But from a community perspective, you'd like to have a little more choice. Not that you're not going to be good people, but we want some choice to really get the best people.
So, well, I'm definitely excited to see kind of where it's going to go in the next couple of weeks as more people, some have already kind of reached out, which is fantastic, and as more, really kind of start to think about throwing their hat in the ring.
Good. Well, and thank you again for taking time because, yes, it is extra time. This is not part of the school committee chair responsibilities, although it is in the dotted line of communication and coordination, but not specifically. And we appreciate that. And I'm sure the community does as well.
Oh, absolutely. I think, and again, thank you so much. And again, I want to really thank my colleague Ruth Ann O'Sullivan. I know she was going to try to join us today, so scheduling didn't work out, but we'll get her on the next chalkboard chat because she did a fantastic job. And she also, I don't know, I think it was right towards the end of the meeting, kind of talked about there was a lot of discussion of with budgets and the financing, especially
Oh,
all
yeah,
this week.
sure.
And because we wound up thankfully, I think both FinCom had recommended there was two models that kind of came out just for folks maybe who hadn't been been watching about were because there was a higher than anticipated kind of that charter school or charter school reimbursement numbers were off from what the state had ended up kind of signing and kind of providing to us. It was model A was going to say, well, in order to kind of balance the books, we're going to have to make substantial cuts. Model B, I think what the town had gone with last night when they kind of decided upon basically said, all right, the schools aren't going to have to make any additional cuts. And, hopefully between some extra income that kind of came on in, provide that for that third ambulance and the receipts might be able to kind of offset it. But kind of bring this up that that budget conversation never stops, and this was something and Ruth Ann had really kind of eloquently kind of talked about it right at the end of the meeting. And so even if you're in this podcast, if you missed the meeting, maybe jump right to the end kind of comments on you can catch it on YouTube, but really kind of talked about the constant challenges that we have even when the state increased the funding for the students Franklin's in such dire straits right now financially that there's still so many difficult decisions that are having to be made just to be able to try to, hold on to what we have as best as we can.
Yeah, and thanks for bringing that up because I'll also plug that our town council quarterbacking session, which will also be coming out, recapping the town council meeting, they did indeed go with that Model B, which importantly makes some minor adjustments on the budget side, but then, yeah, recognizes that third ambulance revenue to bring us into balance. The other key piece out of that, 2 points. One, while the state did give, we ended up less than was forecast, we still did end up with more year over year from the state. So yeah, we didn't get quite as much as we were supposed to, but we did get more than we did last year. So that's still goodness. How long that's going to hold, given other things that are going around, that's another story. But then it comes back to the second point that, as Jamie mentioned in both the FinCom meeting and last night's town council meeting, the budget outlook for the next 5 years is not great. But to the extent that people have at least been involved in conversations around this, around that, whether it's the senior center nurse or SROs or whatever, even the trash at the parks and stuff, people are now more engaged. And we need to reinforce that because, as I think we've said before, we are in this together. We need to figure out how we're going to fund the services and the schools and everything else that the town does for us. And we need to be there.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I'm incredibly proud of the work that the superintendent, his entire office and the school committee have kind of done with this reorganization, because that right there, it's over $3 million annually that we were able to kind of shave off of the town's operating budget. But yeah, when you look at those 5-year forecasts, it's still very, very rocky roads ahead of us. And we can't continue to reorganize and save another 3 million, another 3 million, another 3 million. This was a massive undertaking. Granted, that 3 million is going to continue and carry forward every single
Sure.
year because
Right.
we, the savings and the efficiencies. But that's not a well that you can kind of run back to. And so as we continue to kind of face the financial struggles that we're going to in the future, it's going to be more and more difficult decisions. And that's not even touching the hold harmless provision that I'm thankful is now becoming more and more people are talking about. I think it was mentioned just at town council last night, but the state is looking at the way that they kind of fund Chapter 70 for the first time in over a decade or longer. Because again, based on we receive $12 to $13 million more than what we should from the way that the state calculates the benefits and the funding, because we're a more well-to-do town than the Lynns that are out there in the world, and yet we still receive the substantial amount of funding from the state. But now they're finally looking at it, and it's Boston is our biggest shield because they receive the most in that hold harmless money. But the number that we're right behind them, and that's
We're
not a
number
good
two.
place to be. Yeah, because once we lose our shields, all eyes are kind of coming to us. And if all of a sudden the state kind of comes around and just says, well, you know what? You've been getting $12 million more than you should. You're not going to get that anymore, and the town has to kind of come up with that. It'll be devastating, but it is. I'm glad, like you said, that we kind of have this energy right now, that people are engaged, that they are angry about the things that this community chose not to fund, because maybe we can kind of take that energy and turn it around and say, well, if these are important to you, if it is important to kind of have that nurse, if it is important to have, the school resource officers or DPW that kind of cleans up over it and keeps your playgrounds clean, these things don't come free. There's a price tag associated with them, and let's invest. Let's invest in ourselves. And when we do it as a community, it's a hell of a lot cheaper than if we're hoping to try to fundraise off of, one individual or, I know we've talked about this before. Santa Fe, I love whenever they do their, you go to Santa Fe and 10, 20% of the proceeds come right back to the schools or the PCCs. We can't eat that many burritos to kind of get ourselves out of
As good as they
the
are,
issue
we
there.
just the
They're
diet just wouldn't allow
fantastic.
it. Absolutely. We'll reinforce that point when we get the opportunities for sure. And this was certainly a good one. So, yes, thank you for taking time again. And to the listeners, thank you for listening. Quick reminder, we do this because Franklin matters. We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com.
The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.